Shalom Aleichem on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. We are recording in Silver Spring, Maryland, and are so glad that you can join us. Sota Mem Gimel, Sota 43a, pagination is 85. We have a Mishnah over here, midway on the page, which describes the dialogue at the time that the Jewish army went into battle. The Pasuk in Parsha Shoftim describes that certain people are disqualified. They're absolved, and they do not have to go into battle. The three categories of people who are indeed absolved are a person who built a house, a person who planted a vineyard, and a person who just married a woman. The Mefarshim explore why is it that these special people in their special circumstances are absolved of going into battle. Rashi comments that it would be an agmas nefesh to have such a person at the verge of such a special time in his life to be killed in battle, that itself would be an agmas nefesh, very painful, and we don't want to take that risk. It's interesting, I heard that in the Israeli army they make an effort that siblings, brothers, should not be in the same battalion in case a particular battalion is in crisis and takes significant losses, Hashem Yirachem. It shouldn't be that one family purposely could get a double hit. They didn't want to set it up like that. It's an example of agmas nefesh, of certain things we try to avoid when going into battle. So in this case, it's these people at the threshold of blessing. The Evan Ezra, the Ramban, and others write that there's a very practical aspect to this. Libo leveso velo la milchama. His heart will be regarding that thing that he just did, like building his house, and he won't be totally devoted to the battle. The Rambam's words are very remarkable. Hilchas Malachim, Perek Zayin, at the end of the Perek, Halacha Tesvav, the Rambam's wording is that when a person goes into battle, he's not allowed to think about his family. Yimoche zichronam milibo. All thoughts of distraction have to leave his heart. V'yifne mikol davar lamilchama. And he has to take away all distractions so that he can focus on war. And that's what these Mefarshim are saying, that the fact that he has this other thing on his mind would cause him a distraction. And apparently, even though normally we say, here's the mitzvah, go do it, in this case, the Torah recognizes that this task is too difficult for a human being under these circumstances, and therefore we send him home. If he falls into these categories, that he's hyped for this type of blessing that he's anticipating, that he's involved with, so then we send him home. It's not a reasonable expectation to expect him to focus properly on the battle. Another approach, which is a blend, is mentioned by the Rashbam, that the person going into battle sees it as a bad omen, that war should happen just when he's on the threshold of blessing, and therefore he's doeg, he worries, Shema ein li mazel, maybe I don't have good destiny, and therefore yare lamus, he's afraid that he's going to die in battle and that this whole situation and the time that it occurred in his life is all one big bad omen. And that would be a problem regarding the pasuk which says, Al yirach levavchem al tiru. Do not be a faint heart and do not fear. And again, here we could say that normally we simply tell a person, go observe the mitzvah, don't be fearful. But apparently the Torah recognizes, according to these mefarshim, that this task would be too difficult for him, and therefore we absolve him. We don't want him on the battlefield because we assume that he's not capable of dispelling fear from his heart. So the three categories of people that are disqualified from going into battle, the Mishnah says, V'dibru ha-shotrim el-ha'om le'mar, they will speak to the people saying, Mi'o'ish asher bana bayis chadash, who is it that built a new house? And the Mishnah comments, Echad ha-bona, echad ha-lokeach, echad ha-yoresh, v'echad shenosan b'matono. It really doesn't matter if he built it himself, if he bought it, if he inherited it, or it was given to him as a gift. In any of these cases, he qualifies for this dispensation of Bana Bayis Chadash, building a new house. Interestingly, the Gemara comments that if a person stole the house, he conquered it, so to speak, in social setting, he stole it, even if he would later pay for it and make amends, but he came into the house in a way that's not a qualifying event. And it's not going to be a case of Bana Bayis Chadosh, even though he paid for it in the end. The Mishnah continues, Mi ha'isha shanata kerem, who is it that planted a vineyard? And the Mishnah comments, Echad hanoteya, whether he planted it, ve'echad hamavrich, ve'echad hamarkiv, or he did a significant act on an existing vineyard. They used to put the vines underground so that a new shoot would come up, or they would graft one grapevine to another grapevine, and if he did that new, that would be a qualifying event to disqualify him from going out to battle. And finally, the Mishnah tells us, Umiyo ish asher eras isha, who is it that married a woman? And that person as well would be disqualified from going into battle. The Mishnah tells us that there are cases that do not qualify into these specific categories. For example, Hamachzir Eskirushaso, a person who divorced his wife and is now taking her back. That does not give him a new year as a qualifying event. It's interesting that Machzir Gerushaso in different applications gets paskined in different ways. In Chol HaMoed, for example, the halacha in Tafkuf Mem Vav is that it's permitted to be Machzir Gerushaso even during Chol HaMoed, even though it's a holiday, and normally we would not mix one joy with another joy, but it's not considered to be such a dynamic joy. It's a continuation, so or he's going with a woman that he was once with. It's not the same type of simcha to say that you can't do it during Chol HaMoed. In contrast, when it comes to Dam Chimud, the assumption that a woman might have some emission of blood, of Nida status, when she finds out that she's getting married, and we require Zayin Nikiyim, 7 clean days, so the halacha in Yoredeya Kuf Tzadi Beis Hey is that a Machzir Gerushaso case, remarriage, does require Zayin Nikiyim. It's considered a new chimud, a new endearment. The Mishnah also mentions another thing that's not qualifying, would be Bona Bayis Levenim Bisharon. There was a certain region Sharon, which, because of the situation of the city, of the region, the houses would sink, they would cave in, they were susceptible to flooding, and they were at risk of their houses being knocked down and literally people being buried alive within the structure. So a person built a brick building, but he already had a house. He just built a stronger house in the same place, and that was not considered a qualifying event. We have this concept of the Anshei HaSharon mentioned in the Tefillah of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. In the art scroll Machzor for Yom Kippur, it's page 571, where we have the commentary explaining that they were vulnerable in their homes, and the Kohen Gadol offered a specific prayer for their well-being. One quick observation from Amud Beis, about midway on the page, even though it's more complex than we have time for now, but regarding the case of a vineyard and the cases of grafting and the like, the Gemara brings a specific case as a proof, and I'll only mention that case, which is, in the name of Rabbi Avahu, Yalda shesivcha bizikena, batla yalda bizikena, ve'ein ba din orla. If a person takes a youthful branch within the first 3 years where you're not allowed to benefit from its produce because of the laws of orla, and he embeds it into an older tree, the rule is, at least in specific applications, that that branch is no longer considered an Orla-ruled branch, because now it's part of the older tree and it's out of the 3 years. The reason this case is so dynamic is because it is one of the items of source material brought in the case of surrogate motherhood. When the conception material is implanted in a woman, is that woman considered the mother? She did not give any genetics towards it, but once it's implanted within her, like the branch implanted in an older tree, we're being told that the implantation itself causes the one in whom it's implanted to become the owner, so to speak, to become the halachic decision maker on what status that implanted item has. And in the case of the branch becomes part of this older tree. In the case of this conception material being put into this woman, that would perhaps cause this woman to be considered at least one of the mothers, simply because it was implanted within her. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.